The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefan Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And it is time for Sminty Fiction, which is a once-a-month thing that we do. So if it's not your thing, I totally get it. It is continuing. So we are on, I believe, chapter 5. I always get confused because there's a prologue. And then there, so who knows?
But we're prologue's all not a chapter, Annie. Silly.
How dare I?
Silly.
How dare I? I would love to know if anybody's doing NaNoWriMo.
I know. I'm getting all the updates and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah. So if you don't know, which I mentioned it before on here, that's National Novel Writing Month, where you try to write a 60,000 word novel in a month.
Yes.
And I've learned people cheat, Samantha. And maybe I'm being naive and innocent, but I was like, oh, people cheat? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, people pick up their old works.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Well, I don't really care, but I was legitimately shocked.
To be fair, me, I tried to die. I told you I didn't get very far in mine.
What was it that stopped you? Was it like the inspiration was gone? It was the timing?
Yeah, all of those things. And I am a procrastinator to the max, but like the story, I had a beginning and an end. And then like, so the buildup was good. And then I got caught up in the middle, like what happens here?
Yeah.
And then I changed some things. And then I was like, oh no. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm always interested. I had a friend who we did it together the first time, which is, by the way, where this story comes from, was my first time doing NaNoWriMo. And it's going to become especially obvious in the middle because I had that same problem. And I will, when we get to those chapters, I'll talk about it because I think it's pretty clear I was just trying to write something and get done. But I would do 2,000 words a day. That was my strategy. She did hers in like the last week. And
yeah.
I find that fascinating, like those kind of different strategies. But yeah, as this comes out, it's November 30th. So some of you might be scrambling, but I'd love to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us the experience. Yes, please. Please, please, please. And thanks to everybody who has written in about enjoying these, because it is kind of I enjoy doing it. And as I've said, I didn't really edit these too much. So I know they've got their issues, but I do enjoy doing it. We love fiction here.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of like a vulnerable and scary, like, what if everyone hates it? Oh, gosh. So I really do appreciate all those who have taken the time to write it and say that you like it. Even if it's just like, oh, yeah, I like it. That's great. Thank you. So content warning. This one, for this one, gun violence, illness, threat of violence and child separation, hunger, crude language, child danger, discussions around infertility, stigma around sex and illness, lack of agency around your body. So if you haven't heard any of that, you're listening to that like, wow, this seems poorly timed for what's going on right now. I know. I know.
Is it right on time?
As I've said, I think some people, it's like how Contagion was like the top streaming movie during the early weeks of the pandemic. I think obviously, for some people, it helps you process. Other people, it really doesn't. And I understand that. I don't
sometimes
blame
you need an escape. Sometimes you need to know all of it.
Yes, exactly. So this one is a bit of a longer fiction part. So not too much to say. I'm going to give a quick recap for what's happened. So the global population has been decimated by a virus. The government, along with a religious organization called ARM, A-R-M, determines where the rare child that is born will go. Unwilling to be separated from her child, Tilda escaped with her child, Madison, and they have been on the run for 6 years. Winter approaches, and Madison has a worrying cough. Their clothes are thin, and their supplies are dwindling. Her heroes found a supermarket with some supplies, but were surprised by enforcers of the government, who have been searching for priority number one, Tilda and her son, Madison. So let's get into it.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enforcer stood, arms crossed, waiting. Tilda's toes rammed into the front of her shoes as she jerked to a stop, almost crashing to her knees. Madison careened to the asphalt, but almost instantaneously surged back to his feet with a tiny whimper of fear. Tilda turned on her heels to take off back the way they came, but the other enforcer had arrived, blocking their way. He smiled serenely, and Tilda's knees almost gave out from underneath her. Her neck cricked as she whipped her head around, the other approaching behind them. Madison wrapped his arms tightly around her middle, watching the man in front of them with wide eyes. "Should we call it in?" the one from behind her asked, a pale man, bald, tall, broad, shiny pink sores decorating his face. Tilda thought she could hear excitement lurking in his low voice. The other, an olive-skinned man with whitish raised bumps on his face, dark hair, more lean in build, smirked at her wildly darting eyes, her only thought escape. "The signal out here is too weak. We'll call it in when we get closer to D.C. He fixed his eyes on Tilda. "Tilda Noen, you are under arrest for the kidnapping of a child." A half-hearted protest rose to Madison's lips, the tiniest moan of despair. The enforcer's dark eyes rested on the child, intense, almost hungrily taking him in. Tilda hugged him closer, a disconnected hopelessness settling over her like a veil. The enforcer stepped forward to take him, but Madison turned his head and screamed into her side. The man paused, perplexed, his outstretched hand closed into a fist. His jaw ticked. A deep voice from behind them growled, "Move." He shoved her shoulder blade, propelling them forward so that they were pincered between the two men. Their grim procession led them deeper into the dead town. They passed empty streets and broken windows, shattered street lamps, and moldy mannequins, body parts twisted, hanging out of shop displays. The air was still, but Tilda imagined she could hear the muted echo of howling whispering up the deserted streets as they headed into the center of Cleo Springs. 1,000 voices silently screaming as their hopes, their futures, were extinguished. Madison started to weep silently, tears seeping into Tilda's jacket. She stroked his hair, 6 escape plans springing up in her head and dying just as quickly. She'd failed. For 6 years, she'd put off the inevitable, but she had failed. The enforcers would take Madison from her, place him with government-approved parents, and send him to arms-sponsored schools to teach him fear and shame and self-loathing. And Tilda, if they didn't execute her outright, she'd rot in prison or be left to starve. But that didn't scare her as much as the thought of never seeing Madison again. Resolve took hold inside her, bolstered by the quiet crying into her side, a talisman against the fear. "What about the others? Where are they?" the enforcer behind them questioned. "Around," the gruff voice in front of them answered. "Some of them went back to survey the road and the rest stationed outside of town." "Shouldn't we tell them?" "Search is over." The other glanced over his shoulder at Tilda. She could see the holster and the platinum handle of his government-issued firearm around his waist. "No." Tilda thought she could detect a dark humor in his response. "Let them sit in place for a bit. We don't need any of them trying to take credit for capturing these two." The other snorted before addressing Tilda mockingly. "I have to say, I was expecting more theatrics from a priority number one case. Something more dramatic. Please be as entertaining as you like." Tilda ignored him, eyes sliding from side to side, searching for something, for anything, any way out. The man continued, "Of course it's only fair that I warn you, we have been authorized to kill you if you cause any trouble." Madison sobbed loudly at that. Tilda soothed him with murmured reassurances, the roots of anger starting to take hold. "Not the boy, of course, him we want alive. We wouldn't harm a hair on his pretty little head." Far from being comforted, Madison wailed even louder. The enforcer laughed while the dark-haired one leading the way tossed a look over his shoulder, expression half wary and half amused. Tilda supposed the crying of a child was a rare thing these days. She wondered if it was a sound these men had ever heard before. A battered black car came into view, parked at the corner of what once had been the bustling town square. Now it almost resembled a scale model of an extinct civilization, a way of life that felt quaint and indulgent as it lumbered towards obscurity, a rough beast shuffling unknowingly towards its end. The enforcer glanced around, opening the back passenger door. "Get in," he issued coldly. Tilda paused, the look on her face one of a trapped animal about to bolt. The other enforcer moved to stand directly behind her, watching to see what she would do. Slowly, she approached the car, Madison offering the barest resistance at her side. Although he'd never been in a working one before, he knew what getting in would mean. With gentle hands, the enforcers observing her almost scientifically, she guided him into the back seat, his tiny fingers still twisted into the fabric of her shirt, unwilling to let go. She climbed inside after him, the enforcer slamming the door behind her. A click signaled the lock engaging automatically. Madison immediately crawled into her lap, circling his arms around her neck. Tilda took inventory of the back seat, searching for something, but there wasn't anything. The enforcer slid into the front seats on either side, dark-haired on the right while the hairless one got behind the driver's seat. The car eased away from the curb, the engine quiet. The last time Tilda had been in a working vehicle, she had been with her parents. She blinked, her eyes burning, gaze drawn to the child in her lap. They drove in silence, Madison shuddering in her grasp. Shining hazel eyes swept over the overgrown fields of grain and plains of wild prairie grass. Purple clouds collided with gray and a pale blue sky as they passed desolate wind farms and the rubble of collapsed solitary barns. And still, Tilda formulated possible escape plans, discarding most of them as impractical or flat out impossible. But the longer they drove, the more her desperation grew. Soon there would be more enforcers, and no chance. Madison coughed roughly. The dark-haired enforcer glanced over his shoulder. "Is he sick?" While his question was not one of concern, his tone was quite serious. Tilda stroked Madison's hair and rubbed his back, not responding, only barely managing to suppress the panic murmuring wildly in the lower depths of her subconscious. The driver drawled condescendingly, "Mother of the year here has him out in the cold, wearing rags, on a diet of peanut butter and crackers. I'm surprised he's still alive at all." Madison coughed again, flinging up his arm and muffling the sound with his elbow. "Have you given him any medication?" The patronizing way in which he asked the question rankled, but also succeeded in making Tilda feel small. She shook her head, not trusting her voice. He exhaled sharply. "Stop in the next town, should be Wichita. We can get him something there." His partner disparaged, "Can it wait till we get within radio range? It's probably just a cold." "I am not taking that chance," the other returned firmly. Sighed in frustration. "If that dumb bitch would..." "Hey," the other cut in angrily. "Shut up." A tense silence fell. Signs for Wichita started to pop up on the side of the road. Tilda's thoughts outpaced her understanding of them. Stopping could be an opportunity for them to slip away, but how far could they get now? They still needed supplies. For what must have been the 100th time, she cursed herself for forgetting their packs, all because of a broadcast. The Wichita skyline came into view, shrouded by heavy rain clouds. The car emerged onto the exit and to the right. Cities always appeared more apocalyptic in the scale of their destruction than towns. The devastation more visible, the denser population feeding off each other's hopelessness, fostering it until it could not have been contained and exploded outward, fragments of life destroying the civilization they'd built that would stand long after its creators had faded to dust. They traveled a few miles before spotting a relatively untouched pharmacy. The enforcer guided the car into the parking lot of the stained white building. "Let's hope the place hasn't been looted," the driver intoned caustically under his breath, parking right in front of the door. The two men shared a look. "You want to run in?" "I don't know what to get," the olive-skinned man admitted lowly. "Do you?" "Cold medicine?" the other one snarked. "Yes, but for a child?" he hissed under his breath. This stumped his partner momentarily. He huffed, "We'll just break a pill in half." The others scoffed, and a flurry of hissed communication passed between them. "Fine," the bald man ground out. "We'll take the woman in with us." "And leave me with a hysterical child?" the other questioned in disbelief. "Well, I'm not staying with him." Fresh tears rolled down Madison's cheeks. Tilda watched frozen, horrified at the idea of being separated. The pale one stated simply, "I think it'd be easier if we killed the girl." Madison trembled all over at that declaration, and Tilda held him to her tightly, the air snagged in the back of her throat. "No." the other refuted vehemently. You read the file, only as a last resort. A furious staring contest ensued. All right, the bald and pale one snapped with a sort of jeering humor. Let's all go in. One big, happy family. He surged out of the car, slamming the door behind him. He jerked the handle of the passenger door opposite his prisoners, gesturing with his gun for them to get out. Madison refused to relinquish his hold, so Tilda awkwardly maneuvered them from the car, leaning away from the enforcer to put as much distance as possible between them. She couldn't help but notice he'd left the keys in the ignition. Averting her eyes before he caught her observing this and realizing his mistake, she took wary steps toward the entrance, the other enforcer striding to stand in front of her. The glass pane doors had long been shattered. Powdery, crushed glass crunched beneath their feet. Inside was dark. Some shelves had toppled, contents spilled to the floor, the only thing holding them up the wall or shelf opposite. A gun jabbed in her back, pushing her towards the rows of cough medicine. Are we expecting her to know what to get? He sneered. I'm assuming this isn't the first time he's gotten sick, the other pointed out, exasperated. And she's young. She probably remembers what her mother got for her. Mutinous muttering was the only response as they turned down the row of cough medicines. The shelving on the right was tilted precariously, leaning onto its counterpart on the left until they met at the far end, an inverted V. Much had been plundered, mulchy cardboard boxes littering the floor and shelves. All that was left was shoved to the back. What if he doesn't have a cold? What if it's something more serious? The dark-haired man spoke up, voicing concern that had been lingering in the back of Tilda's mind. This is just a quick fix, his partner said, tossing a box aside, to make sure things don't escalate. We can get him proper healthcare in D.C. Tilda knelt down tentatively, examining the bottom shelf. The enforcers allowed it, studying her intently for a moment. I'm going to put you down for a minute, okay? She whispered shakily in Madison's ear, a watery plan forming in her mind. Madison protested with a low mule, drawing the attention of the enforcers. It's going to be okay, she whispered with the most confidence she could summon. Remember? Elephant, elephant, we'll be all right. Madison released her reluctantly, twisting his fingers together, sniffling, red-rimmed eyes brimming with tears. Tilda glanced furtively over her shoulder. The enforcers had moved closer to where the two rows met, not paying much attention to their prisoners, although Tilda was sure if she made a move to stand or to make a run for it, they'd have their guns trained on her in an instant. In what she hoped was a nonchalant manner, she reached the back of the shelf, where she noticed a rusty metal bar held in by loose screws, supporting the structure and keeping it from crashing into the other shelves. Tilda closed her hand around it, tugging at it experimentally. It gave a bit, squeaking. Breath catching, she shot a look at the two men tossing aside empty containers and sorting through what little remained, complaining about her and cough medicines and confusing tiny print. Wrapping both hands around the cold metal, bracing herself, Tilda took a deep breath and yanked. The bar pulled free with a metallic groaning shriek. She grabbed Madison around the middle and slid them from underneath the collapsing shelf as it smashed into the enforcers, knocking them into the other unit. Jerking Madison to his feet, she broke into a run, pulling him behind her. Bang! Something fiery ripped through her mid-calf. In the reflection of one of the still-standing windows, she could see a gun leveled close to the floor, the enforcer holding it, struggling to keep it steady while he tried to wriggle free from the metal on top of him. Tilda's knee turned in, almost collapsing entirely, fire eating up her leg. But adrenaline kept her on her feet, and she almost ripped the car door off its hinges, opening it, lifting Madison unceremoniously, and depositing him in the passenger seat. She hit her hip on the steering wheel with bruising force, but it did nothing to slow her. Tilda could see movement inside the pharmacy. She twisted the key so hard it bit into her hand, and for a second she thought it might break off in the ignition. The car cranked, revving, as she flooded the engine. Her feet fumbled at the pedals. She hadn't driven in years. Her parents had been in the early stages of teaching her when she discovered she was pregnant, but her body was on autopilot to the point where she almost felt like a spectator trapped in her own skin. Her foot jammed down the brake as she threw the car in drive, her toes and near-detached sole of her shoe catching for a millisecond as she switched to the accelerator. A bullet tore into the side of the car as it peeled away, and Tilda screamed at Madison to get down, metal shrieking as she careened over the curb in her wide swerve out of the parking lot, back end fishtailing as she clumsily corrected. For a brief moment, she worried that she was in the wrong lane. She almost laughed aloud in what might have been hysteria. It's not like there were other cars on the road to worry about, she thought, though debris was a real problem. She tore down the exit, almost veering off the road in her haste. Tilda forced her foot to relax and the car to slow, scolding herself fiercely. Her reckless driving could have hurt Madison, killed him even. They were away from the enforcers, for now at least. If she got them killed, it would have all been for nothing. They were going north. Tilda decided inwardly to keep heading this way until she saw a sign for a highway heading west. She wanted to put as much distance as she could between her and Madison and the enforcers. It's okay now, Mouse. Climb back up into the seat. Was that wobbly, breathy sound her voice? Madison obeyed, movements uncoordinated. A wet cough reminded her of what they still faced. Put your seatbelt on, she rasped. It took several tries before Madison could get it to click. There was something surreal, bordering on apocalyptic, about driving away from danger on a disused road, one that once must have been clogged with cars. She felt that they were the last two people on Earth, and they were fleeing a cresting wave of destruction, an explosion wiping out everything behind them and leaving nothingness in its wake. If she looked behind her now, would there be anything there? Or just a swallowing darkness, the end finally come for them?
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And that brings us to the end of this chapter, be it 4 or 5 or 6 of Terminus. I hope that you enjoyed it. And yes, it is continuing, so there will be more. I love to hear theories people have sent in. That's great. This also included more action scenes, and I am not great at writing action scenes. Did you have, were there scenes, Samantha, where you're just like, this is not my skill set? I can't write.
So I'm better at character buildup than action. So I'm more, my books are more characterized around that in conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not good at action. I'm definitely not good, as we've discussed before, at any love, like sex scene. I can do the, like, flirting, but I cannot do the sex scene. I'm blushing just thinking about it.
I wish you could go back and you could put some of our euphemisms in.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I have written sex scenes. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever publish any of those, but, you know, maybe one day on Sminty Fiction.
One day.
One day. But yeah, I'm enjoying doing this. I'm enjoying hearing from all of you. And it's going to continue. This is, like I said, it's part one of a trilogy. I don't know if we'll do the whole thing, but we'll see. In the meantime, yes, please write in if you did NaNoWriMo or if you just your thoughts about writing in general.
Yeah.
We would love to hear it. You can email us at stephaniemomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast or on Instagram at Steph Never Told You. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina.
The queen of audio. Thank you.
She makes these happen. All of you. And thanks to you for listening. Steph Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.